Yes, of course I'm frightened. And so are you. I accept every time I get in my car, there's 20% chance I could die. And I can live with it. But not 1% more. And today, with the rain, the risk is more.
I suppose that all depends on how good you are in the rain.
I have the track record here. I'm the only person in history to do the ring in under 7 minutes. So actually, it's to my advantage to race it today. Because I'm quicker than all of you.
Fine. Then let's race.
Hi everybody, it's Mina 007 back for another 10 minutes spoiler-free movie review of Ron Howard's Formula One racing drama Rush, starring Chris Hemsworth and Daniel Brühl. These guys play the legendary Formula One racing drivers James Hunt and Niki Lauda, British and Austrian, who competed fiercely for the 1976 championship, in the midst of which there was a near-fatal and really quite horrific accident involving Niki Lauda, in which he was very severely burned, both to his face and lungs, and had to drop out of a couple of the races at a point at which he was leading the championship fight, but then incredibly bravely came back into the cockpit when he was still recovering from his burns and continued to contest that championship very fiercely with James Hunt. In case you think I'm spoiling the story, I think that story is very well known to anybody who knows anything about racing. But even if you don't, and I think Formula One is obviously a lot less popular in the US than it is in Europe, it's a key setup of the movie that is shown very clearly in all the trailers and marketing. What I won't do is spoil who actually wins the 1976 championship and what then happens to those two racing drivers, just in case you don't know. So the concept of this movie being made by Ron Howard, who we all know from his Happy Days days, I'm sure he hopes we forget that, but who's become really a very, some would say, competent director. He's won Oscars for A Beautiful Mind. But to me, he's a quite inconsistent and a director who doesn't really have a particular style. I think what's interesting about this movie is he wanted to make it within the studio system, but didn't, because obviously Formula One being less popular in the US, he couldn't get the funding. So this is actually his first independent film, and it's shot with a low-ish budget, still high enough to afford really wonderful special effects. The makeup on the actor Daniel Brühl when he transforms from the pre to the post-burn Niki Lauda is absolutely amazing. And I wonder if not having a studio film allowed Ron Howard to hire Anthony Dodd Mantle, who is the cinematographer who creates such amazing scenes of racing footage. I mean, whether or not you're a fan of Formula One, if you just love NASCAR, if you love the adrenaline rush of seeing guys at the top of their game race incomparably well, then this is the movie for you. Anthony Dodd Mantle gets the camera down low amongst the grass. You hear and feel and are immersed in the track. I also think the actors do a perfectly good job. I mean, Chris Hemsworth is very charismatic as James Hunt, and that's as it should be, because James Hunt was this British racer, came from a good family, he was a real playboy, he shagged a lot of women, he did a lot of booze, a lot of drugs, he was the kind of guy who would, I guess he's like the Diego Maradona of racing, where the night before a crucial championship race, he would be, pulling air stewardesses and getting sort of blitzed out of his mind. And he drove. I mean, he was a very good driver, but he drove on aggression. He drove on courage and a sort of a very intuitive, instinctive feel for the car. And maybe that aggression comes from often being in not the best car on the track. And what the movie does is contrast this with Niki Lauda, who, again, he's an Austrian guy. He comes from a very well-heeled family. Both of them are racing probably against the better instincts of their families. But he is very rational. He's kind of robo-driver. He calculates the risks. He is technically incredibly accomplished. And the thing about Niki Lauda is he's sort of like the precursor of Michael Schumacher, insofar as both of them were exceptionally good at communicating to the mechanics what was wrong or right with a car. And that really is, I mean, people always think about the prowess in the car, but the relationship you have and how articulate you are to your driver's team is as much a part of being a good driver as anybody else. And also just being good at the politics of getting in the best car. For James Hunt, he was such an explosive character that often just getting a drive was the key challenge for him. Whereas Niki Lauda, by fair means or foul, always managed to get in a good car and at a very young, unproven age was driving for Ferrari. So far, I've given the impression that I really enjoyed the film, and I did. I love Formula One. I think, as I said, Anthony Dodd-Mantel portrays it beautifully. I think the two lead actors are very good, especially Daniel Brühl at Lauda, because he captures Niki Lauda's arrogance, his brashness, but also his supreme intelligence. And I think this really is, I mean, he gets some classic Niki Lauda one-liners, and you know, I think this is, it's really a performance that deserves praise and maybe even awards. The film itself, however, I think when you break it down, is not as good as the acting and the photography makes you think it is when you walk out the cinema full of buzz and full of excitement. And that's mostly because of Peter Morgan's rather tired, cliched, caricatured script, which reduces everything to its most simplistic terms. You've got playboy versus rationalist. There's no real character development. You have the crash, but really that just emphasizes the characters as they are. The girls in these drivers' lives get very short shrift. Basically, Mrs. Hunt, played by Olivia Wilde, just has to look sort of hurt and beautiful. Niki Lauda's wife, played by Alexandra Maria Lara, just has to look concerned and beautiful. And in fact, even the sort of the rivalry between the two, which was certainly there. I mean, it was a very hotly contested season. But this is not Ayrton Senna, Alan Prost. This is not one of those racing rivalries that spilled over into personal life that was really venomous. And I think Peter Morgan is struggling to amp it up. Because actually, these guys, I mean, they roomed together when they were young drivers in London. You know, they had a lot of mutual respect. And he kind of acknowledges that later on. But it sort of means that the film has a kind of muted final act or epilogue. And Peter Morgan stitches on this really bizarre scene where the two drivers, both of them by this point world champions, I don't think that's a spoiler, have a confrontation or a conversation, I should say. And what they do in this conversation is Peter Morgan just repeats everything that just happened in the whole film, what it means to them, and by implication, what it should mean to us. And it just reminded me of that Winston Churchill adage about public speaking, which is, tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. But it's hugely patronizing. This is not a complicated film. It's a very simple story of two rivals for one world championship. It's got very simple characters. We do not need the screenwriter to tell us just what we saw for the last 2 hours. It's unbelievably irritating. So that's Peter Morgan. I think Ron Howard also has to hold up his hand. I'm just not that impressed with Ron Howard in general. I think any style in this film comes from Anthony Dodd-Mantel. There's also this one really excruciating scene where I guess he and Peter Morgan have decided that they need to humanise Niki Lauda, who up to this point has been a bit of a sort of rude douchebag. And they give him this really awful soft focus underwater honeymoon night love scene, which is just so painful to watch. So that's kind of just a, sort of one example of the sort of the stylistic cheese that this movie deals in. And in general, I kind of feel that this movie is more interested in melodrama than racing. And I think it is interesting that Ron Howard is not a self-professed Formula One fan. And Peter Morgan also isn't. I think he's come to this story because he's actually Anglo-Austrian. And he wanted to sort of, I think, delve into the cliches behind the caricature that Niki Lauda was painted as being. And the irony is he's produced a movie that's about as caricatured as any kind of, you know, racist pigeonholing. I think the other problem that Rush has, and it's really not the fault of Rush, and I hate myself for saying this because you should, of course, judge every movie on its own merits, but it is going to stand in comparison to Asif Kapadia's magisterial documentary Senna that was released in 2010 and which has become in a way the sort of the high watermark for any Formula One movie, whether documentary or fictionalized. And in comparison to Senna, this movie fails horribly. Senna felt like a movie made by people with utter respect and utter immersion in Formula One. It was a movie that portrayed its complexities and its ironies and never patronized the audience, which trusted us to deal with this tough, complex material. and took us to the edge of what was emotionally bearable to watch. I mean, it's a breathtaking movie, and I strongly encourage you to watch it. If you're at all piqued in your interest in Formula One by this movie, Rush, please go and find Senna, because it's an incomparably better movie. And I think the problem for Ron Howard is that ultimately, he's kind of chosen the wrong story, because James Hunt, Niki Lauda just wasn't the rivalry that Senna-Prost was. Both because Prost-Senna were, you know, and no disrespect to Niki Lauda, Senna definitely, and probably Prost, were just better drivers, right? So their rivalry matters more in the history of Formula One. It's also a more interesting rivalry because they're just much more complex characters, certainly compared to the characters that were delivered by Peter Morgan, which are very simplistic and two-dimensional. I mean, Ayrton Senna, the spiritualist, biblical guy, very charitable, you know, incredibly rational in the way that Niki Lauda could be about, I don't want to drive in dangerous conditions on badly configured tracks, and yet also capturing some of those James Hunt elements of being a playboy and, you know, having numerous girlfriends and making very dangerous, you know, runs for the gap. So there's more complexity in Ayrton Senna, as shown in that documentary, as in both of the lead characters in Rush. So that is a problem, and it's not one this movie is ever going to escape, I think. I think the best you can say about Rush is that as just pure 2 hours entertainment, whether or not you care about Formula One, it works. You are entranced by the races. They're beautifully shot. It's competently acted, for the most part, very well by Daniel Brühl. You're going to have fun. 2 hours are going to fly by, and you're going to leave the cinema with a great deal of buzz about you. I think if you step back and look at it more, if you're a Formula One fan, you're going to find it lacking. It's a movie made by two people who really don't care or know about Formula One. It's a movie about two drivers who, all respect to Niki Lauda, weren't really rivals and weren't really as important as the movie claims they were, and who were probably more complex than this movie allows them to be, and certainly are not as complex as the movie Senna allows him to be. Anyway, if you've seen Rush and agree or disagree with my take on the movie, please feel free to leave a comment on the blog at beena007.com. And just to remind you that after the music interlude, you can get the ratings information and release dates for this movie in the end credits. Thank you for listening. Rush has a running time of 123 minutes and has been rated R in the USA and 15 in the UK for strong language, sex, and scenes of bloody injury. Rush played Toronto 2013 and is currently on release in the UK and Ireland. It opens on limited release in the USA on September 19th and wide on September 26th, but you can find a full list of the release schedule at the written review of beena007.com.